but I want to challenge you to use it a little differently. Instead of using it to be a thought leader or to get in front of a lot of people, I want you to think about the 12 people who would move the needle in your business this year. Not people who are popular on LinkedIn, not people who have big audiences, but people who could introduce you or hire you to the people that you want to get in front of. You want to hire, you know, you want coaches to hire you? Talk to people who do retreats for coaches. Talk to people who coach coaches, right? Like, think bigger picture, who can open the door. Use it as a business development tool where the guest is more important than the audience, right? So forget standing in front of a trade show booth, forget traveling all over the place. Specifically target the people you want to do business with them, interview them on your podcast, and then use it as a runway to continue the conversation and do business with them.
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at HumbleZone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. Want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
Welcome to another exciting episode where we dive deep into the stories and experiences of extraordinary individuals. I am thrilled to have the talented and multifaceted Molly as our guest. In this episode, Molly takes us on a journey through her origin story, sharing how she transitioned from working with local artists to revolutionizing the way businesses approach marketing and content creation. Get ready for an insightful conversation that will inspire and empower you. So without further ado, let's dive right in.
Molly, so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Fantastic. So, Molly, let's take a walk through memory lane and rediscover your origin story. I love origin stories because it gives me a peek into what you started from, what inspired you to be where you are today. So let's take a journey through that. And I'm sure there's a few stories in there that's going to bring out your essence.
Right on. What would you like to know exactly?
Let's get started. Like, how did you get into, or when was the turning point when you started the journey you are right now?
I grew up in a very like musical household. So I grew up like reading and writing music and playing musical instruments and being at these large events and stuff. So I think I've always been primed for audio and video and production and making sure the speaker had a microphone in his hand and picking great speakers. Irish, we're really good at whiskey and talking. And it all started from there. I've owned a multimedia company for 23 years. In 2018, I closed one company and formed Heartcast Media, my current company. And I just took what I was doing for musicians and artists and local governments and applied it to business. And so that's the turning point for me, was really loving what I do, but wanting to do it for different people.
Loving what you do, but wanting to do for different people. How different are these new different people than the ones you worked with before?
Primarily, I was working with a lot of artists, like local artists. I was really focused on like getting local artists and musicians work and getting them paid and nurturing the local ecosystem and nurturing and fostering community through art, music, and culture. But at the end of the day, like, there was no money in that. It wasn't a sustainable business. And it was a lot of swimming upstream. And I really liked what I did. I liked creating the aesthetic and creating the brand and doing the outreach and all of that. But I just hit a point where I got older, my interests got older, my knees and my hips got weaker, if you will. And my zest for being working an event for 20 hours and making magic for thousands of people who have no idea that I was the one behind it. Yeah. Those days were waning, and I just knew that I had really built something amazing. You can't do marketing for 20 years, especially without money. If you do, if you bootstrap something real good and you're successful with it,
yeah,
nobody can stop you. And what I was seeing is that in the artist world, there was like no money and people making amazing content, young Black kids making crazy cool videos with iPhones. No training whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And then you go in the business world and you're like, you paid somebody $10,000 for this 4-minute video that has 17 views on YouTube. Like, where's the middle ground? So that was really, it inspired me. It was like, let me take some of this artistic and creative and resilient skill set that I have, but bring it to the business world so I can make it more sustainable for them to do video and to make content that's actually going to convert, but not have it be so insanely priced. Because of course, if you spend 10 grand on a video, it gets 17 views, you're going to be like, video doesn't work.
Exactly. Well, yeah. You're trying to work the formula that has no outcome. Like, you, there's no cash coming back. And as a business, you want to see the ROI. I've been hearing all these people talk about video. We spent all this money on video and nothing's coming back. This thing is broken.
Right. Do you have a CTA? Where are you hosting it? Is it on your website? Did you put an ad behind it? There's a lot of questions, but I like that. I like the unlocking the mystery of every client and creating strategy and all of that. It's fun for me, you know?
I love that. So going from creating events for everybody, running the entire show, when you were telling me that, it reminded me of the movie Rockstar, where Mark Wahlberg, right? He's in the audience and he's so pumped. And he goes up on the stage and starts singing. And then towards the end of the movie, what does he do? He just hands the mic to somebody else because he's like, I'm done with this story.
I definitely did an hour long live video on Facebook and I was like, I'm done. It's hard when it's the greatest mistake I ever made. And the greatest lesson I ever learned is, if something's not sustainable, it can never be successful. And I loved what I did, but I wasn't making any money. I wasn't refilling my cup. I was just making sure everybody else was okay, making sure everybody else was eating. And I was actively saying things like, oh, I don't need to get paid. I just didn't know enough about business. I was really an artist at my core. So, you know, I learned a lot and I taught myself a lot. I became a student of business. I've read 130 some odd books about business development in the last 3 years. And I've just implemented those things in this new business to make sure that it's profitable so that I can pay people and provide security. And I basically fixed everything that I was getting wrong in the first iteration, you know, 20 years later, but whatever, better late than never.
No, you're absolutely right. Better late than never, because guess what? There's so much more to do. So many more people waiting for your expertise because you bring that experience, because you walk the path, you know exactly what to tell them and what pitfalls to avoid and what to focus on, because those companies are probably spending the $10,000 only to create the video, not the whole spectrum. You need every single aspect. Just like you don't just spend $10,000 on a logo and now you got no money left to do the actual business.
Right, to run the business, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You need to think from that broad, holistic perspective of how to properly do marketing.
Exactly. And I think that there's a lot of marketing. There's a lot of agencies, right? There's brand agencies, marketing agencies, and a lot of them are churn and burn. And there's young people working there. They don't really know what they're doing. They might have a great design eye, but man, you don't know marketing unless you've been doing it a long time. Yeah. And you have to constantly stay on top of it. So you could have done marketing for 10 years and stopped 2 years ago. You're out of the loop, dude.
Yes, you're already out of the loop.
You're a relic. But if you can come to the table with all that experience and be able to adapt in these new days, then you're a beast. And there's no 24-year-old or 30-year-old or person on Fiverr that can replace that. And so spend your money on the strategy and the amplification and spend less time on production. Like, I see in a lot of companies, we do branded podcasts and people will say, say, yeah, we put our marketing director in charge of that. I'm like, you're paying her 140 grand a year to produce a podcast? Dude, I am so much cheaper and I'm not cheap. You know what I mean? This is not your best use of money. You're getting 7 employees. You're getting audio, video, graphics, SEO, all these things with us. But a lot of times they're trying to get other people to do things that they're not good at and it doesn't work. And then you're not using your talent in the best way. So it's just being really intentional about what is the strategy behind the content? What are you going to do with it afterwards? And then outsource the production, right? Because I don't think the message is like DIY everything. It's like you should outsource, but don't hire somebody that's going to charge you 10 grand for a video and never even ask you what you're going to do with the video, how you're going to convert with the video. What is the video CTA? If they're not asking you those questions, don't hire them.
And I think the grander purpose is to educate the businesses of what it is that they should be looking at. And on the unfortunate thing is colleges are not teaching you that. The books are not teaching that. Like all of this stuff is outdated the minute it's off the press. We were at Social Media Marketing World a couple of weeks ago, and there's a few teachers and professors that are teaching branding. They're teaching marketing. And they're like, the government, the principal, the school board gave them this marketing book. Hey, this is what you got to teach them. No. None of this stuff is dated. Everything that you need to learn is online. It's on YouTube. It's on all of these platforms because they're actively changing the entire infrastructure of where everything's happening.
Constantly. And like the algorithm and this and the size of videos and everything's a reel now. And you have to, you got to really understand these things to know how to make them work for you. So it's an interesting landscape for sure.
I love it. And the landscape, when this podcast goes out to the world, the landscape would have already changed because of what has happened in the last 3 months, like literally the last 3 months with AI on the market and every single person in the world is selling and talking about it. 3 months from now, oh my God, I don't know where things are going to be.
Sharks
and
lasers.
Thing still stands true.
Clearly.
What is the Shark Blazers?
Yeah, like from whatever that Austin Powers.
Shark Blazers, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But I think one thing still remains true, and that's still going to be valuable, is that your personality, who you are at the core, is still something that people will resonate to.
And I think so more than ever, especially I've been thinking about this for 2 days straight. I feel like we're in a hurry to ruin everything, like maybe not intentionally, but there's a good company, they invent a good technology, they offer you great prices, it works really well. Then they go raise $10 million. Mm-hmm. Now they got to raise their rates. They got to, because the investors don't see that, they just profit and they're forgetting about people. And it's like literally the life cycle of any product is like 3 years or something. It's just as soon as they get money, it just goes downhill. And I think that we just really need to get focused back on people and less on profits. And it does matter. Like I want to spend my money with somebody who I like. If you're a little sarcastic and you curse too much, if you're a little jaded and clearly emotionally damaged, like I'm going to like you. I was raised Irish and Catholic. I want to work with people who like have the same sense of humor as me, who I don't have to pretend to be somebody else when I'm sending an email. I want to be able to be exactly who I am. I'm not big on the, hey, how you doing today? Lovely weather. I'm like, hey, I need this, right? Some people are offended by that, but the people who resonate with my personality are not offended by that. So I think video is such a great way to just not weed people out, but attract the clients you want.
Yes, attract the clients. And also, just like a lot of people say, I don't like Gary Vee. He's effing dropping bombs all the time. Like, that's perfectly fine. That's exactly why he does it, because he doesn't want people who don't like him. It's a clear detractor of who the target audience he's trying to lean at.
Exactly. Like, I curse too much. I know that. I can't help it. I won't curse on your podcast because I'm pretty sure it's non-explicit. I definitely go out of my way. But like at the end of the day, if you don't want to work with me because I curse too much, like we are definitely not going to get along, because I'm like, man, wait till you hear about racism and the patriarchy if curse words mess you up. We definitely have not lived the same life. So we're not going to jive together. You're not like, I'm not going to understand you and you're not going to understand me. And so that's great. It's great. It's like dating. Swipe left, swipe right. It's a really good way to get the people that you want to work with through the door, your marketing and your messaging. And then the video just drives it home because you really get to see some people. You hear their voice and you're right away. You're like, oh God, no. Like I bought audiobooks and I'm like, there's no way I can listen to 6 hours of this.
Oh my God.
You know,
I had to suffer through some audiobooks. Oh my God. I want information.
Yeah.
But I am falling asleep every time I try to listen to this audiobook.
So it matters. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It totally matters. And like for everybody who thinks your voice is terrible, there's going to be people who think your voice is amazing and can't wait to hear more of it. So I don't think it's a bad thing to be authentic and consistent in all of your marketing and branding for sure.
I love that. Thank you, man. This was so much fun. We can probably go on for hours just talking about how bad it is out there, but how good it is also, right? You get the bad with the good. You're out in this beautiful, I'm looking out your window and it's just amazing, beautiful looking. You've got the palm trees and the sun is shining. I think we got some sun this time around, but
well, you have a very cool, I'm like, man, I need to get some. My whole house is sunny. So I used to have the whole like dark background with the cool pink and blue lights. I had the whole setup, but it's too bright here. I can't pull it off. It's all windows. I got nowhere else to go. You know,
I've got a solution for you. There's a thing called window sun blocking curtains that you can put up only in the space that you're just going to be showing up in your camera shot. And then you can add some lights or you can even shine some cool logos from a little spotlight and whatnot. You got some cool looking stuff going on.
And they have to be, the only problem is, but then I block the view and the view is pretty rad.
So there's two ways about it. And this is something that I do professionally, helping people set up their home studios and whatnot. And because you have so many windows, you only need to block one window that's in your shot. Right. All the other windows are still accessible and you can still see that view.
Yeah, I should get one of those pull downs.
Yep.
So it's like small. And then when I want to record, I could just pull it down. Just
pull it down. Do your
thing. Then I would get the natural light lighting my face.
Yeah.
See, I know these things. I build studios, but I don't think about it too much until I'm sitting in front of you who's like perfectly lit. And I'm like, oh God.
Oh God.
I can do better than this. I have a microphone. So
yes, you got a microphone and most of the people listening to this podcast are listening to this podcast.
That's great.
So that's what's very important. Like as long as people can hear us, that's all that matters, because that is the communication language that human beings use. Not language, but medium. That's the medium.
Indeed. All right.
It's been a fun walking down memory lane. Let's take a quick break. And when we let's take a quick break. And when we get back, Molly, you're going to share with us 3 hacks to take away for our superpreneurs listening to this episode.
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at Humble Zone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities.
Welcome back, guys. We've been listening to and talking with Molly Ruland. She is born for this podcasting. She just said that in the green room. And I'm so excited to be talking with her. Molly, you've got three hacks to share with us. Let's take it away.
Okay, I'm super ready for this. Number one, buy a microphone. And more importantly, buy the Shure MV7. I think that, is that what you have too? It looks like it.
That's what I'm using.
I recognize it just by the top of the microphone. I see it anywhere. I'm like, yeah. That's it. And I'll tell you why, because it's a USB mic. It'll plug right into your laptop. Or if you are in a studio setting with more than one person, you can plug your microphone into an audio interface as well. It's foolproof. It does have an app that you can dial in the settings. But even if you don't download the app, which I think 97% of people don't even realize it exists, your microphone will still sound fantastic, even if you use it incorrectly. And let's face it, all of you are using your microphones incorrectly. So that's a great little tip to have right there.
Yes.
$350 from Podcast Outfitters gets you a boom arm, earbuds, and the microphone. And if you use code TPC10, you'll get 10% off, which covers your shipping. So you can't be mad at that. I get no affiliate. I get nothing off of that other than the satisfaction of you getting a better microphone and that small business getting some business. Number two, use a branded podcast as a business development tool. Supercharge, take that microphone that you just bought, start a podcast. But I want to challenge you to use it a little differently. Instead of using it to be a thought leader, to get in front of a lot of people, I want you to think about the 12 people who would move the needle in your business this year. Not people who are popular on LinkedIn, not people who have big audiences, but people who could introduce you or hire you to the people that you want to get in front of. You want coaches to hire you? Talk to people who do retreats for coaches. Talk to people who coach coaches, right? Think bigger picture, who can open the door. Use it as a business development tool where the guest is more important than the audience, right? So forget standing in front of a trade show booth, forget traveling all over the place. Specifically target the people you want to do business with them, interview them on your podcast, and then use it as a runway to continue the conversation and do business with them. That's number two. Number three, go on as many podcasts, take your new microphone and go on as many podcasts as you can, but be very intentional about what you want to talk about, what your key takeaways are, and what you want to leave the audience with, and always try to provide some value. And that should be the goal, and not trying to get something from them, but try to give something to them, and go on a ton of them until you can't anymore, and develop relationships, because everything in life is relationships, whether it's with the audience, with the host, whatever. The more you can get in front of people, talk about your business intelligently, the better you'll get at it.
Yes, I love it. And we see in the window, the little guy wants to come in.
Yes, my maniacs. I have three puppies. When you live in Costa Rica, they just show up. They adopt you. And I have three of them and they're maniacs.
That's so awesome. All right, Molly, thank you so much for those three hacks. All right, I'm gonna ask this question. This is one of my favorite questions. And especially because I've been podcasting for so long, and I want to know, why do you podcast and what has it done for you?
Sorry, my dog just ran out of trash. Why do I podcast? It's all about relationships. I love that connection between people, getting time. How else would we get to meet each other, have this conversation? Mm-hmm. I think all that stuff matters. I heard a quote that said, you are what you do every day. And if what I do every day is solve people's problems and connect with other people about things I care about, then I'm totally cool with that. It's been fantastic for business. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue have come in because of the relationships that we have created through our own podcast. We have created millions of dollars in strategic relationships through the clients that we've produced podcasts for. But at the end of the day, it's people having a conversation, man. And what's better than that? We can't take ourselves too seriously. And I'm from DC. We talk to each other in line. We talk to each other on the street. We're not like in New York, you can say hi to 100 people. No one's going to say hi back. In DC, we're a little different. You look somebody in the eye, you say hello, they're going to say hi back. And I feel like podcasting is that. It doesn't have to result in anything other than a connection with another person.
Amen. Amen. I love that answer. That's so cool. And the more I podcasted, the more I realized the connections that I was making with the people that I was talking to, because we get to hang out for 45 minutes. Now, when was the last time you hung out with somebody for 45 minutes straight, just talking about each other?
Right. Yeah, it's a narcissist's dream. But really, when we all have like friends, we're like, man, we got to hang out more often. I spend more time with the sales calls and my clients and podcast interviews than I do with my own friends and family sometimes. Yeah. So it's, I want to give back. I want to have a good conversation. I want to create that relationship. And the older that I get, man, everything in life boils down to relationships, whether it's business or personal. It's always about relationships. You got a new podcast, you want sponsors, pick up the phone because it's not going to be your sponsor deck. You don't even have a download, right? Mm-hmm. It's always going to be about your relationships. Always. Oh, you start a new podcast. You don't know who to interview. Who can you call to ask for the favor of being your first? It's always relationships. Always.
It's always relationships. I love that. Thank you so much, Molly. That was very insightful. In fact, I'm about to pick up the phone and ask the people, hey, can I be a guest on your podcast?
Let's do it. Absolutely.
All right, Molly, let's jump into our quick fire questions that I love to ask my guests.
Okay.
Number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
Surfing.
Ooh.
I always wanted to be a surfer girl or just a surfer. Baby. I don't know. The gender is irrelevant. If I could get up off the floor without it being like a 7-point turn, I would be happy. But surfing feels extra cool. And it's something I always wished I knew how to do.
No, that is, surfing is totally cool. And there's a whole thing around that crowd of people, like the movie Surfer Dude with Matthew McConaughey. Oh my God, that was...
I grew up in Virginia, nowhere near any surfing. And I've been like obsessed with surfing documentaries. I don't know. Maybe in a past life, I was a surfer or a whale. I don't know. Like one of the
maybe two, but... growing up, you were watching Stitch and Lilo. I don't know.
It's funny. It was Gidget. I'm really aging myself with that one. I don't know if you remember that show, Gidget. It was like in black and white, the first four seasons. It's like really old. I shouldn't even mention that, honestly.
No, you're good. I love it, though. Because, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that really connects us with the people who resonate with the kind of stuff we like, right? And that's the personality. That's the authenticity. So I'm going to have to look up Gidget.
Yeah.
maybe there's some episodes on YouTube I can watch.
I'm sure there is. There's got to be. Yeah.
All right. Next question. What did you want to be when you were a child?
Oh, that's so funny. I wanted to be a hairdresser. I had the brochures for the Vidal Sassoon Academy. I don't know where I got them, but I did. I was just super into it. And my mom raised me to be a very independent woman, but only by force. And she said, you can't do that. It'll kill your back. And she discouraged me at every single turn not to do it. And so I didn't follow my dreams.
Wow.
I know that's not fun at all. You're like,
it is fun because what's funny is because she said, hey, don't do that because you're going to hurt your back. And guess what you were doing? You're running 20 hours.
For sure. I rode a bike in DC, got hit by cars multiple times. I was born with a congenital birth defect and grew really fast and had spinal issues. So she probably was right in the grand scheme of things. But
of course, they're always right. Parents are always right. We're parents, right? I don't know about you. I have four kids and one kid, he wants some scotch tape. So we got to pause this podcast.
That's hilarious.
All right. Next question. Yeah.
I don't have kids. That's, people are like, you look so young. I'm like, no kids. That's the secret of my success.
Okay. Next question. What is your favorite movie or TV show?
One of my favorite movies is The World's Fastest Indian with Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
And it's like a true story about the Australian guy who brought his crazy motorcycle to the salt flats in Utah. And he like starts with a K. And it's just a fantastic story. It's just a great story. And I've just always loved it. And the tenacity of the guy and his ingenuity. And like, it's a good feel-good movie.
Yeah. I remember watching that one and it was so much fun. Paul Rodriguez, Christopher Lawford, Aaron James Murphy, Anthony Hopkins, Annie Whittle.
Really it's cool. And it makes you want to go to the salt flats because you're like, that is a really cool looking place, man. Like,
it is. Because it's just miles and miles of nothing. And you can make or break your life.
Yeah, literally. And the races these guys do out there, they're like 140 miles an hour, 180 miles an hour. Like so he invented this motorcycle, right? That went like 120 miles. It like broke all the land speed records. And he was like 78 years old or something.
Amazing.
It really is.
All right. Next up, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Oh, man. Point Break. I got to stick with my surfing theme. I would have to be one of the like awesome chick surfers that just makes a cameo appearance. Although I'm down for Robin Banks too, like off the record.
Point Break with Keanu Reeves. Come on, man. This guy's everywhere.
I don't have an answer, so I'm sticking with my surfing theme.
No, I like it though, because it's almost like somebody has posted how they just watched the John Wick chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because it's Neo, right? It's the latest Neo movie or the latest Matrix. He had the full beard. I'm like, what happened?
Is that Nicolas Cage? That's
fun fact about Nicolas Cage and Keanu Reeves and people that don't look like they're aging. There's a show on Netflix called The Inside Job or something. It's animation, and they talk about how Keanu Reeves and Nicolas Cage and I can't remember the other kids' names, but they're essentially vampires.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah. It's the only logical explanation,
right? Because they don't age. It's crazy. All right, Point Break. It is. Next question: who's your favorite superhero?
Man, I don't want to be cliche, but I want to say something like any black woman raising her children on her own without any support out there in the United States of America, because that takes some serious superpowers. Any human raising their kids alone, but especially any woman, especially any women of color, black women, like that's a hard angle. I'm not really big into all those action figure or movies and Thor and all that stuff, but I think the definition of a superhero is somebody who, like, against all odds and leads the way for other people and cares about people. And I feel like that's score any points. I'm just saying that was the first.
No, you're so right. And it's, I'm not sure what it is that plays the biggest part in that story, single woman raising kids. Kevin Hart, he was raised by a single woman, and she kept him straight. She kept him from getting in trouble, especially after his older brother got in trouble. Nope, you are sticking by me. You are going to be swim practice day and night till I'm done with my work. It really goes to show, and it's sad. Recently, I read this article. I can't remember where it was, but it was talking about how the population of South Korea is actually declining. There's about one third of the population that do not want to get married. They're basically calling themselves the 4Bs. No boyfriends, no sex, no marriage, and no children. So there's like a huge pandemic, essentially. I don't know if you call it a pandemic, but there's
the Great Awakening is what I like.
There's a Great Awakening in South Korea. And unfortunately, they grew up, like all these girls and teenagers grew up being very abused by their parents or by their dad or by a male figure. And it's really scary to see where it's heading and how can that be even solved. I don't know. It's just really weird what's happening in one part of the world, whereas the other part of the world, it's a totally different scenario.
It's a different time. Times are changing. And it's interesting living in Costa Rica. I live in this neighborhood now and everybody here is married. Mm-hmm. And I've lived in a city for 20 years, but nobody's married. When you get when you live in a city, you get married, you move out of the city into the suburbs. You have kids. Like,
oh, that's how it works.
Yeah. So you really don't have a lot of married friends. And it's wow, there's a small amount of privilege there, but there's a lot of sacrifice too. A lot of women stayed with bad men because they didn't have any options, especially older women. And women couldn't even get a bank account until like 1978. We didn't even get the right to vote until 1969 or something. It's really insane. That's completely inaccurate, so no one sue me, but it's not that far off, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of don't do it or they see for themselves because
they went through that, and it's crazy,
but I think it'll just encourage men to be better, so I don't think it's bad.
I hope that happens because it's not fun. It's not fun.
We won't have any babies.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. This is supposed to be fun. Last question.
The apocalypse is coming. What are you wearing?
Here's my thing about the apocalypse, right? I've seen the movies. The Walking Dead, The Last, The Among Us, The Last of Us, all these movies, right? About the apocalypse and the movies and the TV shows. And here's my take on it. If an apocalypse ever comes, let me be the first to go. All right. I don't want to deal with none of this nonsense. Yeah, yes. Yeah. I'm out of here. You guys can, you can
pick me.
Pick me. Let me just go.
I've been watching. There's every TV show on Netflix now is about people surviving in crazy, terrible situations. So I feel, and I'm like, I would not last.
Yeah.
At all.
The one of my favorite movies to watch and make fun of, but not really make fun of, but like really enjoy is 2012.
Oh god. No, that probably didn't age super well, huh?
It didn't age super well at all. But what was cool was how this limo driver is escaping all odds of things going wrong for him. And then finally they end up on this arc. Like he just made through every single problem people were having. And you know what? I got this. So that's awesome. Cool for them. But I'm going to just check out at the beginning.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
I have a 21-year-old dog who's like picking fights with the puppies. And I'm like, girl, you're going to die. You're going to die out there. Stop playing.
Oh, my God. All right. Last question. Then we're going to wrap it up.
Okay.
If you were a board game, what would it be?
Oh, I want to say Monopoly, but it's probably more Sorry. Or maybe Chutes and Ladders is probably a more accurate depiction of my life. Sometimes you're riding high and then bam. Back at the bottom. That's life of an entrepreneur.
Yeah, it bears basically is. I love it. All right, Molly, this was so much fun. Thank you for all the laughs. And I'm sure the people listening are going to get a whole bunch of laugh out of this as well.
I hope so. I'm available for weddings and bar mitzvahs.
There we go. There you go. We'll fly you out of Costa Rica, is it?
That's right. That's right.
All right, Molly, where can my superpreneurs find you?
HeartCastMedia.com, like heart, like podcast, but HeartCast. And from there, you can see all of our links, meeting links, everything else.
Perfect. Thank you, Molly, again. And we'll catch you in the next episode. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Congratulations. You made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.